Chapter 5 Lexi wasn't surprised she didn't get anything useful from the McDonald's. If Jack's theory about the builder was true, they wouldn't know anything about how the body got in their basement. Although, the information about the stranger certainly was interesting. She'd have to ask Nans about that. But Lois and Charlie had said the stranger was seen years after they'd bought the house, so it probably wasn't related. And besides, Lexi didn't know how much she could trust what they said. They seemed rather confused about a lot of things. Nan still hadn't called her back, but Lexi needed to continue on without her. Jack had said the first thing to do was find out more about the builder. But how did one find out information on someone who built a house over 60 years ago and was probably retired or dead by now? Lexi figured the best way was to use the internet, and if anyone could dig up the info, it would be Nan's friends, two of the members of the Ladies Detective Club, Ruth and Helen. And that's exactly where she was headed, to the Brook Ridge Retirement Center, where she could, hopefully, catch up with Nans and fill the four ladies in on the grave discovery in Jack's basement. Gray clouds had rolled in, spoiling the blue sky and causing a light sprinkle as Lexi pulled into the retirement community parking lot. She grabbed her box of meringues and sprinted for the glass door that opened into the lobby, holding the box over her head as a makeshift umbrella. The door whooshed shut behind her, and she turned left to go down the hallway to Nan's apartment.
"Yoo-hoo! Lexi, is that you?"
Ida's voice rang out from behind her, and Lexi turned to see Ruth, Helen, and Ida sitting at one of the round tables in the spacious lobby that doubled as a gathering room. "Hi." Lexi changed direction and headed toward them, frowning at the empty fourth seat where Nans would normally be sitting.
"She's not here," Ruth stated the obvious.
"I thought I saw her driving your car earlier," Lexi said. Ruth nodded.
"Yep, she asked to borrow it. Mighty odd, if you ask me."
Ida and Helen nodded in agreement.
"I think she's up to something,"
Ida whispered.
"Maybe she's out visiting that nice young man from the square dance," Ruth offered.
Lexi's brows flew up.
"Young man?"
"Oh, of course, you wouldn't think he was young, but there was a gentleman at the square dance who seemed quite taken with your grandmother. And I swear, he couldn't have been a day over 75.
Helen turned to Ruth and Ida.
"Don't you think, girls?"
"Oh, yeah, she's a cougar," Ida said.
Lexi scrunched up her face. She'd never considered that Nans might someday have a boyfriend. Her grandmother hadn't seemed interested in any men since her grandfather had died. But now that Lexi thought about it, a male friend might be good for Nans. She wanted her grandmother to be happy, and felt relieved that her strange behavior could be attributed to a man and not something more serious.
"Oh, thank goodness. I was afraid something was wrong with her," Lexi said.
"Did she say when she'd be back?"
"Nope." Ida raised a brow at the box. "What have you got there?"
Lexi set the box on the table, untied the string, and flipped open the lid. Ida craned her neck to peer inside.
"Meringue cookies?"
"Yes, but I didn't bring any plates or napkins," Lexi said.
"Oh, no worries."
Ida pulled her giant beige patent leather purse from the back of her chair, rummaged inside for a few seconds, then pulled out a stack of napkins and passed them around. Lexi slipped into the empty seat as the ladies gingerly picked cookies out of the box and set them on their respective napkins. She'd baked three different kinds, a rich brown coffee flavor, an orange and white striped that had a slight orange tang, and her favorite, a plain vanilla meringue that was piped over a chocolate kiss so that the kiss acted as a surprise chocolate center. I'm trying to find the perfect recipe to enter in the Brookridge Falls annual dessert contest. Maybe you guys can help me decide which one to use. Lexi smiled at the ladies, but her smile faded when she noticed them staring at her, wide-eyed, instead of attacking the cookies with their usual gusto. What's wrong?
Did you say you were entering the annual dessert contest?
Ida asked. Yeah. It's the first time I've entered, and I'm very excited about it. Lexi wondered why the ladies did not seem to be sharing her enthusiasm. They were usually quite supportive of her.
Oh, you might want to rethink that,
Ruth said. What? Why?
Because you'll be going up against Violet Switzer,
Helen answered. Who?
Maybe you haven't heard of her, but we have, and she's not one to be trifled with.
Ida shook her head. Lexi's brow wrinkled. What do you mean?
She's ruthless and cunning. She'll do anything to win a contest. Some say she'd just as soon kill you as give up the blue ribbon.
Helen thrust her chin out at Ida.
Just ask Ida.
Lexi raised a brow at Ida. Ida nodded.
Yep, I went up against her in the old home day pea shooting contest back in 55. Or was it 56? Well, whatever year it was, she was mean as a stuck toad, and I'm sure the passing decades haven't made her any nicer.
Pea shooting? Lexi stared at Ida.
Yeah. You know, you take a hollow tube and put a pea in, then blow. I used to be the champion shooter. Won every contest for decades.
Ida's chin tilted up proudly.
I have very good lungs. But then Violet showed up and blew Ida out of the water. No pun intended.
Helen giggled. Ida sighed.
She sure can shoot far. But it was the way she went about it, following me and sizing me up. Then she would try to intimidate me into bowing out.
Ida pressed her lips together.
But I do have to admit, she won fair and square. Of course, they don't have that contest anymore.
Right. I think they replaced that with the cherry pit-spitting contest, Ruth said.
She wins that one, too.
And she bakes, too? Lexi asked.
Bakes, gardens, knits.
Ida picked a cookie up from her napkin.
You name it, and Violet is into it.
Well, I'm not afraid of some old lady that can shoot a pea through a straw, Lexi said.
No, you just wait. Anyway, we know that's not the main reason you came.
Ruth leaned toward her and lowered her voice.
Our informant down at the BRFPD told us about the mummy, and we figured you'd be coming by. Been sitting here waiting on you,
Ida added. Oh, good, Lexi said. I called Nan's last night, first thing, but I guess we had a bad connection. I'm surprised she's not here waiting, too. I'm sure she must have heard about the mummy by now.
Yeah, her new boyfriend must be more interesting,
Ida cackled.
We can get started without her, Helen said. Tell us what you know.
Lexi glanced around the room. The other tables were empty, but two gray-haired men sat in the lounge chairs, watching the big screen TV that was turned up to an annoyingly high volume.
Oh, don't mind them.
Helen waved her hand toward the two men.
They're deaf as doornails. Won't hear a word we're saying.
Lexi told the ladies about how they'd found the mummy and Jack's theory about the builder. Then she went on to describe her visits earlier with the McDonald's. And of course, Davies said that Jack is a suspect.
Oh, dear. That's crazy,
Helen said as she bit into the chocolate kiss meringue. Well, a dead body was found in his basement.
But surely they can tell it was put there before he moved in. I mean, that must have been what happened, right? Ruth asked.
If Jack is a suspect, that's all the more reason for the Ladies' Detective Club to investigate and help clear his name, Ida said.
That's right. Ruth pressed her lips together and tapped them with her index finger. Are you sure the previous owners weren't hiding something from you? If they're the killers, they might be very clever.
They're just a nice old couple, Lexi said. It couldn't be them. Plus, they didn't seem to have a clue of what I was talking about. And anyway, Jack said he figured it would be the builder, since he would have had a perfect opportunity to make that secret room and hide the body when he was building the house. Ida frowned down at her half-eaten meringue cookie.
Wouldn't the smell of a decaying body hamper the sale?
Lexi shrugged. I guess he might have stalled the sale until that smell was gone.
What about the other people coming on the job site? Ruth asked. Or the neighbors? Surely someone would notice something.
Wait a minute, Helen said. We're talking about Jack's house, and that's right behind Mona's. Did she live there then, or did she buy the house after the McDonald's?
The McDonald's said that she already lived there when they moved in, Lexi offered.
Nothing gets past Mona. So if she lived there back then, she must have noticed something.
Ida's forehead creased, and she craned her neck to look in the parking lot.
Where is she, anyway?
Lexi turned to follow her gaze, but there was no sign of Ruth's big blue Oldsmobile. Beats me.
Did the McDonald's tell you who the builder was?
Helen pulled Lexi's attention from the window.
No, I guess I should have asked.
No worries.
Ruth bent down and picked up a giant black purse from under her chair. She opened a flap, unzipped a compartment, reached in, and pulled out an iPad.
Google is a wonderful tool. We'll just look it up. It would help to know who the victim was, too.
Helen raised her brows at Lexi.
Any idea?
No, sorry.
Could you tell if it was a man or woman?
I think it was a man, Lexi said. It was wearing shorts and what looked like a tank top or white undershirt. That's not something a woman usually wears.
Very good.
Ida nodded at Lexi.
And that's an important clue.
It is?
Yes. From the clothing, we know it must have been summer when he was killed.
So, now we just need to look for missing persons reports on males that disappeared in the summer.
Helen reached into her giant purse and produced an iPad.
Now, what year was the house built?
I'm not sure exactly. Lexi chewed her bottom lip. Jack said about 60 years ago?
Okay, good enough.
Ruth and Helen alternated tapping away on their iPads and nibbling the meringue cookies. Ida looked over Ruth's shoulder while nibbling her own cookie. Lexi noticed that they weren't eating the cookies with their usual gusto. She hoped that was simply because their minds were too busy with investigating to pay much attention to the cookies, and not because the cookies didn't taste good.
That's strange, Helen said. I've searched several decades and not found anyone reported missing who was never found.
Maybe he wasn't from around here, Ida suggested.
Maybe, but it seems like he would be. Otherwise, why did he get killed and hidden here?
Helen asked.
It doesn't seem like one would bring a body from somewhere else and seal it up in a basement, does it?
Well, we can just ask the builder, because I've found him, Ruth announced.
Really?
Ida craned her neck to look at Ruth's iPad.
Was he involved in any nefarious activity? Money laundering, fraud, murder?
No, nothing.
Is he even still alive? Lexi asked. Oh, yes. In fact, he lives right here.
Ida wrinkled her brow. In the retirement center?
Yep.
Tommy O'Keefe, 350 Pinewood.
Oh, he has one of the single homes. Those are expensive. So he must have money.
Ida's blue eyes danced with excitement.
Probably got it by being paid off to hide bodies in the homes he built.
Helen swatted Ida's arm.
Oh, Ida, you do have an imagination.
I think we need to make a visit to him, ladies. What do you think?
Ida asked.
Definitely,
Helen answered. They all looked at Ruth for her answer. But she was squinting intently at something past Lexi's shoulder, apparently not having heard them.
Isn't that Mona? Ruth asked.
Lexi spun in the direction of Ruth's gaze. Yes, she must not see us.
Mona! Yoo-hoo! We're over here!
Ida yelled. Nan stopped short, then slowly turned toward them. Lexi thought she saw a look of uncertainty cross her grandmother's face, but then she broke into a smile and headed toward them.
Where have you been? Ida asked.
Nan's face flushed, and she looked down at the floor.
Oh, you know, just some errands. What are you all doing?
We're discussing our new case, Helen said.
New case? Yes.
Ida nodded enthusiastically.
The basement mummy case. You know, the one Lexi found in Jack's basement.
Oh, right. Nan's waved her hand.
I heard about that. Very unusual.
I'll say.
Ruth pulled a chair over from the next table and indicated for Nan's to sit.
So anyway, tell us what you know, and we'll fill you in on what we've found out.
No. Why would I know anything? Nance asked.
You lived there back then. Surely you've thought back and remembered something that might have been amiss,
Helen prompted.
We don't even know when it happened.
Nance turned to Lexi.
Do we?
Not really. I mean, the police haven't said anything. But Jack thinks it happened when the house was being built. Nance raised a brow.
Oh, really? So they can't pinpoint the time of death?
I'm not sure. Lexi looked around the table at the other ladies.
Can they pinpoint the time of death with a body that's been mummified?
The three ladies shrugged.
You lived there before they built the house, right, Mona?
Ruth asked. Nance nodded.
So whenever it happened, you were living there. You must have seen something.
Helen said.
Think back. Did you notice any strange activity at night? An odd smell? If you want, I can hypnotize you to help you remember.
Certainly not, Nan said. I mean, I don't need any help remembering. My memory is just fine, and I tell you, I never saw anything strange going on.
Well, we found the builder, and he lives right here in the complex. We intend to pay him a visit. Maybe you could bake one of your apple pies,
Helen suggested. Nan's apple pies were famous, and the ladies had discovered long ago that bringing pies or pastry to interrogate, visit a suspect was a great way to get them to open up.
Oh, I don't know, Nan's grimaced. I have a pretty full schedule. You don't know?
Ida gave Nance an incredulous look.
Jack is a suspect, and that Watson Davies character could screw things up for him. We have to investigate, for Jack's sake. Davies might be a little hard to get along with, but she does a fine job, Nance said. Remember how she uncovered the killer when we had that whole fiasco with your wedding dress, Lexi?
Sure, but I think we helped her on that one. And on the copycat Baker case, too. Nance tisked.
Maybe, but she's perfectly capable of figuring out this old case. Anyway, It happened so long ago. Who would even care about it now?
Lexi squinted at Nan's.
I would think you would care.
Yeah. Aren't you going to investigate with us?
Ruth asked.
Nan shrugged. I need to look over the new cases. Maybe, if there's nothing else more interesting. I'm very busy and have to pick my cases carefully. You know, some things from the past are better left in the past.
Lexi exchanged a glance with Ruth, Ida, and Helen.
Since when did Nan's not want to investigate every case? But for now, I need to get upstairs. I have some calls to make.
Nan slid the keys across the table to Ruth.
Thanks for the loaner.
Nan stood, plucked a meringue cookie from the box, and took a bite. She turned to leave, swallowed, then looked down at Lexi.
This is good, but it needs a bit more sugar.
And with that, Nan shuffled off across the lobby, leaving Lexi, Ruth, Ida, and Helen staring after her.